So this morning, we are focusing on a couple of themes before we actually go into the dedication ceremony, seeing that this is the season of Lent, and today being the Palm Sunday, and as we look ahead to Easter on Sunday, it would be good for us to spend a few minutes on the Word of God, talk about the season a little bit, and then we'll transition into the dedication ceremony. And we'll give you an instruction as we get close to it. And here in the past, for the past few weeks, we have been at Pioneer Park observing the Lent season. Lent is, as most of you are aware, is the 40-day prior to the Sunday, Easter Sunday. And throughout the Christian world, Lent is a time to reflect the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's a time for us to reflect, to think about the meaning of the cross, the meaning of His mission, His coming, His first coming. As we do, we are also reflecting on our own individual and corporate journey as Christians. We are reflecting whether we are obediently following in the path Jesus set for us. As we will see in the scriptures, Jesus obeyed the commands and the eternal counsel of His Father as He came down to die for you and for me on the cross. So the 40 days marks when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, which was captured for us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. We see that the 40 days was a temptation time for Christ to go through before He started His ministry. In the same way, each of us are on the journey, are being tempted on a daily basis to perhaps look away from the cross, put the cross aside, and perhaps find a detour around the cross or a way around it, not be willing to suffer. But Jesus showed us a path. And the theme for this morning is God's steadfast love. Perhaps nothing describes God's love more than the cross. Nothing. In Psalm 126, we read, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." In this psalm, there are 26 verses. In each of those verses, the psalmist ends with the phrase, "His love endures forever." God's love is the one thing we know endures forever, because God endures forever and He does not change. We can count on it. Jesus understood this very well. In the good times, in the bad times, through thick and thin, deep inside He knew that God can be depended upon. His love never fails. I want to assure you, God's love never fails. Now, we see, we can experience God's love in a variety of ways. We are going to be dedicating three bundles of joy this morning. They are just absolutely delightful children. God's so good, He gives us beautiful babies that give us so much joy. When you think about it, they don't do anything. They don't add to the economy. They don't actually produce. They don't pay taxes. But we love them. Right? And I don't know anyone that's not moved by the sight of a baby, beautiful baby. Right? And in Isaiah 9, we read that God, He says, "Unto us a child is born." Unto us a child. God gives a child because He loves. Of course, He was referring to His own Son, who is a gift to us. But in the Passion Week, the expression is, the height of His expression is found in the Passion Week. And I want to spend a few moments on what happened in those Passion Week. Next week, we will talk about the cross. But this week is about the Passion Week. Because as we spend the rest of the last week of Lent I want to encourage you to reflect on every day, for every day of the Passion Week, reflect on God's unfailing love by contemplating what happened in that particular day. Now, on Friday and Saturday, Jesus came into the town. Before he came to Jerusalem, he comes into the town of Bethany, a very small town just outside of Jerusalem, where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived. He enters there. Just a few weeks earlier, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Now the crowd hears that Jesus is in Bethany. Everybody flocks because the Passover week is about to start, and hundreds of thousands of people are flocking into Jerusalem. But they come to Bethany, and they see the man who raised Lazarus from the dead. He was on Saturday, he was anointed in the house, and then on Sunday they come to see him before he makes his way on Monday into a triumphal procession into the town of Jerusalem. And before that week, as you know, Jesus has been ministering for 3.5 years, going throughout the north and the southern Palestine, proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom of God. As he was doing so, he was healing the sick, casting out demons, and the lame, the blind are being healed. There was no mistaking it. The kingdom of God, the arrival of the kingdom is here. There is no mistaking it. But the height of it was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The height of this ministry. Because everybody knew Bethany was only a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. So close to the power structures there. The authorities, the religious leaders in Jerusalem would have known about that. Would have heard about it instantly. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. No one has even heard of anybody being raised from the dead after the body has started to disintegrate. Excuse me. This, everybody knew, was the finger of God. Nothing else but the finger of God, which is a reference back to the Exodus story. Right? Now, as he was coming into town, the Gospels explain to us the procession, or how people were coming in, how Jesus was coming in. As we read on the story, sitting on a colt, comes in the crowd in Luke 19, verse 37 to 39. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. I'm reading from the NIV. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They all now are attesting, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are obviously ascribing the authority of God directly to Christ. They can't deny it. They're anticipating peace on earth, right? Now in Matthew 21, we see the crowds that went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. Now they're anticipating salvation here and now. Hosanna is saying, save now, save now. Salvation here and now. Because the crowd really expected the overthrow of the Roman government. They expected that Jesus will overthrow the Roman government, and the kingdom of Israel is now going to be established here and now. They have been hearing stories about a Messiah coming in and doing that. They thought that's what's going to happen. But on Tuesday, on Monday, he does this. He comes in. They laud him. On Tuesday, he goes into the temple, begins to cleanse, to remove the money changers and the people that are there, and accuse, saying that you have turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And he begins to cleanse the temple. On Thursday, he meets with his disciples, eats the Passover meal in the upper room, and gives the great discourse, the upper room discourse, to the disciples. And the same night, late, early in the Friday morning, he's about to be betrayed, and he's about to face the severe challenge of his ministry that he's ever faced. He's now, the cross is a day away. On Friday morning, at 9, around 9 in the morning, he's brought for a mock trial. And the crowd that has been cheering him on Monday morning, on Monday as he was coming in, the fickle crowd has quickly turned on Christ. Now they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. There would be a mock trial, and then he would be crucified, and he would die on Friday. We know the story that doesn't end there, right? He rises from the dead on Sunday. Now, throughout the Passion Week, how was Jesus able to keep himself focused on going to the cross when he knew that the crowd is going to reject him? He knew that. He knew he was going to be betrayed by Judas. He knew that his closest friend, Peter, was going to deny him. He knew he was going to be mocked. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to experience a criminal treatment by people he created. On top of all this, he has the power to change his situation. He has the power to change the course of history. He has the power to do things in his own hands. All he had to do is summon some angels from heaven. They will come to his aid at a moment's beckon, at a moment's note. They will just be coming to him to support him, to aid him, to change the course of history. From him going onto the cross, he would have been able to do that. But he didn't. Why was he willing to face such a criminal treatment, such a brutal, gruesome death? Why was it? Why is it that when you and I are faced a little bit of opposition, a little bit of resistance, a little bit of persecution, we run helter-skelter? Why is that? At the heart of it, at the center of it, Jesus knew the love of God, the unconditional, the steadfast love of God. He knew that it was his nature. God's nature is to love, and that does not change. You and I, if we recognize, if we come to realize the love, the steadfast love of God, we will endure anything, brothers and sisters. We will be willing to go through to carry our cross, but we must realize that God loves you, loves me unconditionally. He loves us. The only thing Jesus did, he wasn't passive. He wasn't a passive participant. He wasn't some guy who's determined, a machismo guy who wants to say, well, I can do this cross thing on my own. He wasn't doing that. He was actively interceding for those who were persecuting him. The one thing we see on the cross is he was interceding on behalf of those who are persecuting him. The only reaction that enables us to bear up the cross is as we intercede for those who persecute us. But in realization, in response to the love of God that we are experiencing on a daily basis. I want to say a short word of prayer for you as we're contemplating what happened on the cross. I want to read one verse that captures Jesus' reaction, and then end this portion of my message with a prayer of exhortation. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 9, It says the following: any relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What is that mindset? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. In some translations, it says, of no reputation. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, the creator of the universe, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for those who are here to worship with us, for those that chose this morning to stand alongside of parents. We thank you for the gift of your Son, who was obedient even to the death on the cross. This morning, we ask each and every one of us, as we enter into the Passion Week, to help us to meditate on the truth that is found in your word, to contemplate, to think about these things, and to ponder on the meanings as the foundation and the heart and the center of the Christian faith is the cross. For to each one of us, help us to come into realization, open our hearts, our minds, to see, to perceive what happened, and also to come in full contact, in full knowledge of the steadfast, enduring and never failing love of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.